The All Souls Paranormal Radio Network brings you some of the hottest paranormal radio on the net. Check out www.asprn.com to listen to archives, read about upcoming events, check the schedule, or to listen live every night for great paranormal radio. ASPRN offers you some great radio starting Sunday with Dead Speak Radio and The Man Who Talks to Angels. On Monday, Para Investigators Radio and The Chat People Radio. Tuesday, Maps Radio and Miami Town Ghost Talk Radio. Wednesday, Haunted Times Magazine Radio, Embrace the Dark, Paranormal Outreach Radio, and Residual Hauntings Live. On Thursdays, Ohio Crypto Radio, EVP Spirit Talk Radio, and Paranormal Encounters Radio. And on Fridays, Behind the Veil, and Saturdays, Paratrinity Radio. So be sure to tune in to www.asprn.com and click Listen Live. Hello, everybody. Did you hear that?
It was very, very, very quiet.
Yeah.
Since it was coming, I heard it.
I don't know what happened, but it was super duper quiet. So that was our intro, everyone. I don't know if you could hear it or not, but there was an intro there. So welcome to Miami Town Ghost Talk. I'm your host, Mike.
And this is Jeff.
And we've got another great show lined up tonight. We're going to be talking to Brian Klein about the Ohio Paranormal or Paracon. It's a paranormal convention that takes place here, well, not here, just north of here in Dayton, Ohio. And we were there last year. It's a pretty big one, pretty fancy little setup and everything, and some great guests. And I think this year is even bigger and better than ever. And he is also a part of the group Southern Ohio Paranormal Research.
Bigger and badder than ever?
Bigger and badder than ever.
Sounds like a soundbite advertisement type of thing.
Is that bad?
I don't know. I'm not sure I've ever heard you use badder in that context. It was kind of weird.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw you off.
So is there one of those Southern Ohio paranormal conventions coming up here shortly?
I believe so. I think it's in May.
So you weren't prepared? This is something that we were going to ask the guest?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to find it right now.
Well, I know last time that we did it, it was on James Willis's birthday, because somebody toilet papered his booth.
I remember that. The Ohio Paranormal Convention is August 21st and 22nd. I was way off. They were close to May.
Was it May last year? It might have been May last year.
I'm thinking that was the other one. There was another Dayton conference last year that was in May. I don't know. You'll have to ask James Willis when his birthday is. And some of the vendors that they're going to have there are Scott Tepperman, who was apparently on Ghost Hunters at some point. I don't remember him. Patrick Burns.
See,
from
the TAPS member is one of the investigators?
That's what it looks like. It says Scott Tepperman from Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters. It doesn't really say much about him. And then from True TV's Haunting Evidence, Patrick Burns. He's like a psychic detective. I've heard of him. John Kachuba will be there. He's an author, for all those who don't know that.
That's where we actually met John Kachuba for the first time.
Oh, yeah, it is. You're right.
Uh-huh, and that's where we met his publisher as well. And yep. That's why we have another book coming out in September. Because we went to that convention. So this is a great convention.
It is.
You get books published if you go to this convention.
Well, if you make the right friends.
You broke up there. I didn't hear what you said.
If you make the right friends, I guess. Yes.
Well, I guess it helps if you have another book that's already out. But this is where we met Jack Heffron, the Clearacy publisher. But, yeah.
And
I don't know what's going on with that.
A couple others are author of the Ghost Huntress book series, Marley Gibson. I don't know much about her. I heard her name today somewhere for the first time, so I don't really know who she is. And then Georgia's own gentleman ghost hunter, Bob Hunnicutt. I've heard about him. He's a big name. But I don't know anything about him other than the fact that he's Georgia's gentleman.
We met a lot of people. Was that like a, that was like a full weekend thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like, I think that was the one at the O'Hare Arena.
Is it the O'Hare Arena or just Hera Arena?
I think it's just Hera Arena. I always say O'Hare. I don't know why.
but yeah, Beth Brown was there for the first time, and we got to talk to her, and later we got to be on her radio show, and I think she bought our book. And then James Willis was there. That was the second time we'd met him, and Jody Cook was there. And like you said, John Kachuba, and met Beth Brown, and there were a lot of people there. It was a good time, and it was a great setup last time. I don't know where they're having it this time. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I don't know. I think I'm off today. I don't feel as witty as I usually feel. I know I'm not witty usually, but I don't feel as witty as I usually feel.
It's at the same place this year in the Hera Arena.
But yeah, that was a great setup.
It is. It was.
Except for whenever there was a presentation, everybody would leave the vendors alone.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that they'll figure it all out. I've got
What did you say?
I've got too much going on, and I can't talk and type and do all the stuff that's going on at the same time.
Oh, yes, today is the first time on Miami Town Ghost Talk that Mike's actually producing. Yes. I had to work late today, so he took up the producing duties, so everything's running from his computer. So if everything runs more smoothly, which everyone can tell from the intro, it is going more smoothly. It's all thanks to Mike.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with the intro.
I can't wait for the commercials.
They should be okay. I play those often, and they always work, so they should work. And I don't have our new outro. The only outro I have says Wednesday nights, and we're not on Wednesday nights.
Would it work if I played it from my computer?
It should.
This is a conversation we should be having off the air, isn't it?
Probably.
People don't want to hear about our technical things.
Yeah, you should be able to play the outro.
All right.
Maybe you should have played the intro.
We should have.
It seems like it would have worked then.
So what do we have coming up in the coming weeks? Let's get to a guest here so we don't bore everybody into leaving.
As far as guests, next week we have Robbie Thomas. He is a psychic detective. I believe he's been seen on several of those TV shows on like True TV and stuff. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure he has. But he does some psychic tour thingy all across the country and Canada, and giving presentations and working with police to solve missing child or missing people cases and murder cases and stuff.
That sounds interesting. It's been a while since we've had a psychic on.
Yep. I don't think he's like a real psychic like what we've had on in the past. He's more of a... Well, I guess he's a real psychic, but I don't think he does readings for people like that. He more concentrates on finding where dead people are and missing people are.
Okay, and who do we have coming up after that?
It's to be to be determined.
So we might have one where we get to talk the whole time.
There's a good chance.
We won't talk like this, where we're just boring everybody with technical talk and things like that.
I'm a little off also because my headphones snapped in half last night, so I'm just holding one ear up to my ear and the other half is dangling down, and I'm doing everything else with one hand, and I'm a little out of sorts here.
So this is just a terrible way to start the show.
It kind of is. I'm hoping once the guest gets on, it gets better and everything runs smoothly from the commercials.
So we're putting a lot of pressure on the guest today.
I'm just hoping I get better. I don't know why I would, but that's my hope.
Well, since the guest is a member of a paranormal group here in Southwest Ohio, I was just thinking, like, before we started and talking about the guest and all, how this part of the country seems to have a whole lot of those paranormal groups. Like, here in Cincinnati, there's just a ton of them, and then there's the Ghost of Ohio with James Willis that we mentioned earlier, and then this group, and I know there's a couple other groups from Dayton that we've run into. Is this what it's like all over the country, or is this just something that's an Ohio type of thing? Like, does every big city have like 10 paranormal groups that investigate the city, or is this not something that you know?
I don't know for sure, but from what I've heard, it sounds like most big cities, most states have a couple hundred paranormal groups. Sounds like it's not hard to find them no matter where you are.
So how many paranormal groups do you think are out there as a whole?
Thousands. Multiple thousands.
And this kind of brings me as a segue into that database that web guy is working on for us. And if there's all these paranormal groups out there, and if you're right, and I think thousands is overestimating, because maybe here in the southwestern Ohio there's maybe 20, but still hundreds at least of these paranormal groups out there, and it just seems that a lot of these paranormal groups are just working independently and they're collecting their own evidence, and yeah, they're sharing their evidence with people who go to their website or anything, but the idea for this database that WebGuy and I are working on is to somehow pull this evidence, to pull this research, so that we have a better idea of what works, what doesn't work, and we can start seeing patterns and things like that. The idea is to, instead of having people brag about their findings and post their evidence and things like that, it's everybody anonymously puts the boring details, or I guess the boring details from their investigations on this site. It's like this huge database, this huge site where they say how many people were investigating, where they were investigating, what time of night they were investigating, how long the investigation was, and then what did they catch? Did they catch EVPs? Did they catch Class A, Class B, Class C? I forget what the other classes that the guy we had on last week had, but. Right. But just all kinds of information like that, and then somehow pull this and find that maybe people catch more evidence when they have less people there, or maybe they catch more evidence when it's between this time and this time. And if they all do it anonymously, it's more likely that the results that are posted will be completely accurate. And then maybe if we get hundreds of these groups putting their investigation stats here to this site, and I know that's kind of a lofty goal, but say that were to happen, we'd have these patterns, we have this much clearer idea of exactly what's going on in the paranormal world and what actually works and what doesn't work, and it just seems to me that we don't have that now, that we don't have that now, that we have a bunch of separate people working together, and yeah, they share their ideas, they share it, but it's just not, there's not just that central hub where they can all post those mundane details, right, that could be the difference between catching something and not.
Right.
Is this a good idea? I like this idea.
I think it's a great idea. And I don't think a couple thousand investigation groups in the country is a far stretch. I think that's very possible.
Okay, your homework this week is to figure out exactly how many paranormal groups are in this country.
I don't think that's possible.
Or just to get a round idea.
I mean, there's new ones popping up every day. I just heard about another new one in this area, somewhere in the Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area, called Ohio Past. So, I mean, there's tons of new ones popping up all the time.
Well, I agree there's tons of new ones, but I think thousands is, like, there's 50 states, and say there's, well, I guess it's possible that there's 100 in Ohio, but I don't think it's possible that there's 100 in Utah.
I would guess there's more than 100 in Texas or California.
California, we do run into a lot in California.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And then there's a lot of, like, independent people that do stuff, not necessarily a part of a big group, but
just imagine that if we had that resource available to us, and if I'm not sure I know that web guy already has the site purchased, I think, but I don't remember what the website is, so maybe he could tell us. But if people could just start giving us those little mundane details, how many people, stuff like that. And right. I think patterns will start to emerge, and then it'll just make things, the evidence that we catch more, I don't know, that just seems that that's something that the field needs, that all these people who are in the field, everyone needs to be working together.
I agree. But I think we should get to our guest, take a commercial break and get to our guest. We're past the 10:15 mark when we usually like to call, so are you ready for a commercial break?
Go for it.
Didn't mean to cut you off there, but it's getting kind of late.
And he's posted the website. It's parastats.com, but nothing's set up yet. He needs me to tell him all the stuff that I just said to everybody. For all the stats that we're collecting, but hopefully soon that will be up, and hopefully we can actually get people to start submitting to this.
Awesome.
And get those patterns. But yeah, let's get to this guest.
All right. You've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Are you experiencing strange noises? Seeing shadows and no one's there? Have an uneasy feeling in your own home? These may be signs of paranormal activity. Cincinnati Area Paranormal Existence Research, CAPER as we're also known as, provides free consultations and investigations. With over 30 years combined experience, CAPER can help you find the answers. For more information, give us a call at 513-407-4242. You are not alone. We can help. To help you learn more about paranormal activity, check us out on the web at caper.pararesearch.org.
Have you heard the stories of Bobby Mackey's music world being haunted? Maybe you heard the stories from others. Maybe you've seen it on the Travel Channel, or maybe you've seen it on World's Scariest Places. Either way, here is your chance to find out if the stories are true. Come down to Bobby Mackey's every Friday and Saturday and join us and KYPS and our partner group Craps as we host the Haunted Ghost Tours at Bobby Mackey's. Tours are only $5 per person and last approximately a half an hour. We know it's haunted. We have the evidence to prove it. Maybe you'll have an experience of your own or collect evidence of your own. Hope to see you there.
Para Trinity Radio airs live every Saturday on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join hosts Mike and Ellie Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com. Sponsored by HostYourGhost.com. Para Trinity Radio, where nothing is sacred.
Kicking off the Thursday night lineup is Monster Quest's very own Jody Cook. Tune in at 8. I'm on Thursday night for Ohio Crypto Radio. Your host, Jody Cook, plans to delve into the many mysteries of cryptozoology, talking about Bigfoot, Mothman, and beyond. come over to www.asprn.com every Thursday night at 8 p.m. for Jody Cook's Ohio Crypto Radio.
All right, that wasn't what I wanted to play, and the drop didn't work. I'm on a roll tonight. Anyway, we're back, I think. Is everyone
yes,
still with me?
We are back, yeah. We're here with our guest.
And we have our guest on the line. It is Brian Clean, I hope I said that right, from the Southern Ohio Paranormal Research, and he is one of the people that runs the Ohio Paranormal Convention that takes place in Dayton at the Hera Arena. And
so when you offered to introduce the guest, I thought that you actually knew the last name.
I know how to spell it. I just wasn't sure how to say it. It's K-L-E-I-N.
It's just like Calvin's last name.
Klein. Okay.
Yes.
I see. I do apologize.
Is that Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes, or is that the what's Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes' last name?
I don't even think he has one.
Well, that's unfortunate. Okay, so we let's start by talking about the convention coming up, and I hear that it's in August, is what we figured out, and it's at the Hera Arena. Is that correct?
Yes. This. It's in August, just like it was last year. It's just a little bit later in the month. We actually went a week later so that we would miss the Gun and Knife show. That really didn't work too much to our favor last year. We ended up seeing 30-06s and sniper rifles and all that walking past our front entrance to the convention.
And if I remember correctly, they walked in the front door asking if this was the Gun and Knife show.
Yes, even though there were signs that said Paranormal Convention, Gun Show, all the way over on the other side. So it was rather interesting. But yeah, the event is going to be August 21st and 22nd. That's when our speakers take the mic. However, on the 20th, we're actually investigating the Ohio State Reformatory, or better known as Mansfield Reformatory, or the Shawshank Prison. We'll be investigating with many of the speakers that will be speaking on Saturday and Sunday. We just confirmed Patrick Burns and Marley Gibson. Scott Tepperman will be there. Joey Ward. Bob Honeycutt, Reese Adler, and Jim Jones will all be there. So I'm thinking it's right now we're sitting at about 8 guest speakers, but more could confirm as we get closer to the event. The event features 19 guests. Last year we had 16, and we're looking to keep the process the same. However, this year we're going to keep it a little bit more structured. We learned a lot from the first event, and we're gonna take that and take what we learned and keep going from there. Because we have so many, we have to make sure that, you know, we keep everyone on time so that everyone has a chance to speak and that we're not cutting anyone short, and that everyone that comes gets to see who they want to see. One of the interesting things about our event is, unlike some events, they do tracks, so you have to kind of pick who you want to go see. Whereas with us, it's basically you can sit and listen to all of our guest speakers if you wanted to. You know, you can still go to the vendor booths and such, but we've actually built in breaks in between all of the speakers so that our vendors get a chance to see the people attending, and also, you know, people, instead of sitting in the conference center all day, will get a chance to get up, walk around, and take some time out of the conference center. Other than that, I mean, we're gearing up. I mean, it's 3 months away, and we're getting really excited, so we're hoping for a big turnout again like we had last year.
So you had mentioned Scott Tepperman, and excuse my ignorance here, but was he on Ghost Hunters?
He's actually one of the newest investigators on Ghost Hunters International.
Oh, so we haven't actually seen him yet?
No, his episodes will start airing in the summertime.
Okay, because I was thinking, I don't remember ever hearing that name before, but I also didn't recognize Shannon Sylvia for a long time there either, so I didn't know if maybe it was early on in the seasons or what.
No, and, you know, I did the same thing, and I was like, okay, is this someone playing a joke on us? Is this, you know, so I, you know, before we even committed to, you know, bringing him on, I was searching everywhere. I'm like, who the heck is Scott Tepperman? And he hails from New York. He currently lives in Florida, where he's the co-founder of a team called Alpha. And he still actively investigates with Alpha, even though he is investigating, he is an investigator on Ghost Hunters International.
So I don't remember if you said, is he actually going to be speaking at the event?
Yes, he will be speaking at the event. He will, at this point in time, we have him as the closing speaker on Saturday, because he has to leave very early for Florida on Sunday.
Is he going to be talking about Ghost Hunters International? Like, will these shows have aired by that time? Or is this, do you know what exactly he's going to be talking about?
He's going to be talking about Ghost Hunters International and some of the investigations that they have been on. And most likely, depending on when their next season starts, their season starts back up, we may be like the first or second convention where he's actually talking about investigations that haven't aired yet.
Okay. That's pretty cool. So how did you get the idea to get this whole convention thing started? Like, what made you decide that, hey, I'm going to throw a big convention here at the Hera Arena up here in Dayton?
Well, James Bell, the founder of the group that I'm a co-founder of, Southern Ohio Paranormal Research, and I, we'd been throwing around the idea probably ever since 2007. But we didn't want to jump in too early. We wanted to do our homework. So what we did was visited some conventions that were taking place. We went to Mid-South Paranormal Convention in Louisville, Kentucky. We've been to Birmingham, Alabama for OmegaCon. And we also looked at the prices and the setups that other conventions were putting out online. And our whole idea was to put Ohio, you know, up there in the convention circuit, because we've seen other conventions come through, and they're, you know, they focus on one track, and what we wanted to kind of do was bring everyone together. We wanted to bring UFOs, Bigfoot, cryptozoologists, and ghost hunters all together and just make it one big event. And based on the feedback we got from last year's event, it seemed like it came at the right time, because gas prices were starting to go up, and so people were kind of limiting where they were traveling. So, you know, for me living in Columbus, Ohio, I was driving to Louisville, Kentucky. That's 4 hours away from me. Birmingham, Alabama is 8 hours away from me. There wasn't a real big convention that was that Ohio could claim as their own. But we also, you know, looked at it as a way for networking. And as I was listening to you guys earlier, you guys met with Cleveracy Press and King Communications, and, you know, were able to get a publishing deal out of it. And that right there says a lot about the event, because we had a lot of people that drove from 10 hours away just to see the guests that we had coming up. But we also had a lot of Ohio talent as our guest speakers as well.
Right. And I agree. It was nice to have all those different vendors there and be able to walk around and talk to them and network with them. And yeah, I'm sure without that, I'm sure I would have met Jack Heffron at some later time, because I've met him several times since then, but that was the first time. That was when he looked through the book. That's when we actually first started talking about maybe starting something with some kind of deal. And it was a great opportunity to network. And if anyone out there is interested in networking with people in the paranormal field, maybe getting your own tour started, getting your own group started, anything like that, these events like this, they're just perfect places to go and just talk to people about how to get something like that started.
And that's really the whole reason I ever really cared to go. I mean, to be honest, I'm not starstruck if I see someone like Ghost Lab people or Ghost Hunters people. I mean, it's really not that big to me. But to get to talk to everyone and get book deals out of it, or just get to know someone else somewhere else and get kind of like the word out, is what's nice about it.
Yeah, and that was the key, is that, you know, while we understand that there's people will want to see the big names, we also wanted to put Ohio on display in the fact that we have so many great groups in this area and great people that do the paranormal, you know, all over the state. And so that's why most of our guests are from the Ohio area. We have, you know, just a few that are from, you know, we have Reese Sadler, who's from Maryland. Patrick Burns and Marley are from Boston. Bob Honeycutt is from Georgia, and Joey Ward's from Georgia, and then Scott Tepperman's from Florida. So out of those, like, pretty much it's like 10 people are from the Ohio area, so Northern Kentucky region and all over Ohio. So you know, we were happy to be able to put, you know, that type of focus on them, and I think it shows that Ohio has a lot of diverse groups out there. And, you know, who would have thought that Ohio had Jody Cook, who was featured on Monster Quest,
right?
You know, and he's a really great guy, and, you know, I noticed that he has a radio show now on ASPRN, so, you know, it's really good to hear that he's branching out and doing that. And, you know, so we're really excited to hear about, you know, where our guests have been, and, you know, to see that, you know, most of these people, most of the people that were there last year had never even thought of being in a convention. And when we asked them, they said, well, yeah. And it seems to have been a very positive thing for them ever since then, because they've been doing events, and possibly I think most of them are getting you know, more offers for convention speaking dates as well from our first event, because now they're getting out there and, you know, want to spread the word of their event, their team, and all that.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So do you find that Ohio has a higher concentration of people interested in the paranormal than the rest of the country? Like, I guess I'm not real familiar with the others. Like, I'm real familiar with Cincinnati and the paranormal scene down here near Cincinnati. And it seems like there's a whole lot of groups, there's a whole lot of haunted places, a whole lot of things like that. And I don't know if this is true throughout the rest of the country, or if Ohio is like a hot spot for this kind of interest.
Well, the one thing to think about with Ohio is that it was the old cliche thing that we had on our license plate for the longest time, the heart of it all. We as a state have 41 million people within 10 hours drive of Ohio. So it's not just Ohio that we're trying to reach. We're trying to get the you know, people that may have driven more than 10 hours, or may have driven, you know, across state borders to, you know, multiple state borders to get to an event. Like I said, I went down to Birmingham, Alabama, and it turned out it really wasn't that great of an event. And so what ends up happening is then you're like, was it worth my time driving there? And, you know, So we're not focusing outside of a 10-hour radius. We're trying to focus our promotion within about a 6 to 8 hour radius, maybe even closer in, so that people feel that there is a better value for their time traveled to get there. So that, you know, hopefully we're able to pique their interest with the guests that we have, and they want to stay for the other guests as well. And this is, you know, a rare event where, I will tell you, that our guests aren't charging us for their appearance. Most of the events that you go to that have a ghost hunter, that has someone from Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, Ghost Lab, they're charging the event thousands of dollars to appear.
Yep.
Our event, they're not charging us anything. So, you know, that makes it, you know, all the more better, because then we know that the guest really wants to be there. You know, they're doing it for the reasons that we're doing the event. And so it becomes a little more laid back. You know, we had Keith Age there last year, and he's like this at all the conventions. You can just walk up to him. But I can tell you one thing, if we had Jason and Grant from Ghost Hunters, you wouldn't be able to do that right away. You'd have to stand in a line about 5 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't want it to get to that point. You know, we know that we have to get some big names in there because we know that's what people want, but we also want to get people that have something of benefit to make it more of an educational networking and, you know, just overall, you know, great event where, you know, people are learning something, but having fun at the same time. And last year, I mean, James Willis, his presentation was phenomenal. And, you know, he had everyone in the audience laughing, and, you know, he's coming back for this year. And we're very glad to have, you know, pretty much most of our speakers that were at our event last year are returning. We have just a few new ones, and, you know, that says a lot about our event. We got a lot of feedback from our speakers that said that, you know, from all the events they went to, it was probably one of the better first events that they've been to. You know, do I believe that? No, because, of course, you know, I'm always going to find faults because, you know, pretty much we're the ones putting it on, and there's things that we're like, oh, crap, that could have done so much better. But I'm glad how it turned out, obviously.
So how do you think this event will benefit the paranormal field as a whole? Like go ahead and try to brag about it however you can. Like, is something about this event going to push the field forward? Or is it just an entertainment type of thing?
Well, no, we don't want to we don't want it to become, you know, just pure entertainment value. We want someone to get something out of it. And I can tell you that some of the guests that we had there last year and that are returning, like Sean Feeney from Anomaly Response Network, had a lot of good points. He brought up things about variables in investigation and how you should eliminate as many of those variables as you can. And, you know, by providing those steps and that information, I saw people taking notes. And at some events, I see people just sitting there, just listening. And at our event, I learned a lot, and I know that our patrons did, because, like I said, people were there. They had notepads, and they were writing down notes. They were at our speakers' tables writing down notes, you know, exchanging information and, you know, really learning something from those that we had there. Because pretty much the big names that we have there, we have three pretty big names that people are familiar with, two of which, you know, were on TV shows, and one, Bob Honeycutt, he's been, you know, he's been featured on a couple television shows, but he's been known more on the convention circuit for showing very compelling evidence and showing I don't want to use this word, showing the methods behind it. I almost said science, because sometimes that gets me in trouble with that. The methods behind how he collected that evidence and what he did to actually analyze it. And I think seeing that type of presentation has more clout than going there and just listening to someone brag about, you know, they were on a television show. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that's, you know, from all of our guests, we may see more of the same thing that we did last year, where people are taking notes. So I think it's, you know, and if they're not learning from the guests, they're learning from the other paranormal groups that were there throughout the weekend. And so it's my hope that not only from the guest speaker standpoint, but from the people attending there, they're able to make friends. I can tell you that I probably collected about 15 business cards while I was there. So, you know, there's differences that each person will see there. Some people will go there just to, you know, listen to the speakers and just see what kind of information they have. But then there's people that are in their own paranormal group that want to see how others are doing things.
And I like that idea that to bring everyone in the field together to somehow share these ideas, so that if everybody can get on the same page, or I'm not saying everybody should do it exactly the same way, that would be contrary to what I'm talking about, but if everybody can share all their ideas and then the next person expounds upon that or finds the things that they like about that, it just seems that the field, like, I know the field's not new at all. It's a field that's been around for years and years, but it just seems that just recently all the scientific methods seem to somehow be coming together, and if all these ideas and all these people who are suddenly interested in the whole paranormal field could just somehow get together and bounce their ideas off of each other, and that's what I really like about conventions like this, is there are those people who are there, and they can bounce the actual guests, they're there to bounce their ideas off of everybody else, and then even the people who come in from the street to visit the convention, they get to learn from these people and then create their own ideas. And it's just I like the idea, and I think that's something that the field needs, this larger collaboration of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And the thing is that I don't proclaim to be an expert, and that's not why Southern Ohio Paranormal Research decided to begin doing this convention. We did it because we saw a need, and the need continues to grow. And of the friends that we made, and I can honestly tell you that probably about 90% of our guests I've met in person and have done investigations or spent time with them, even outside of our own convention. Heck, I went down to John Kachuba's house 2 years ago to his Halloween party. You know, so, you know, it's not a, you know, we're not just bringing people together that, you know, we're like, oh, we think that, no, these are people that, you know, we have a relationship with, and we know what their, you know, we know what their mindset is, and we know how they're going to present information. And, you know, it's not going to be that, you know, someone, I've heard of people going to somewhere, someone, you know, a guest speaker was joking that his hand was possessed by a devil or a demon or something like that, and he started, you know, groping women. And this was at a paranormal convention. And, you know, so, and then you've also got this, you know, there's this thing that's been happening lately. And unfortunately, it's, I hope that it does not tarnish the rest of the conventions that are out there, because I know there are some great ones coming up. I know Queen City Paracon just ended 2 weekends ago. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, and shortly after our convention, there was supposed to be a convention in Cincinnati called Extreme Paracon. And there's some controversy behind that one. There's some controversy behind the TAPSCon. And I just want to let everyone know that we're not out here to make any money off of anyone. I will tell you that 100% of the remaining proceeds after we pay for our venue – we'll be going to the Dayton and Montgomery County Historical Society. Our group, and neither does Cryptic Investigations, we do not make any money off of this event. All monies brought in are used towards the event for promotion, materials, venue, and our nonprofit donation.
So since you mentioned the promotion materials and stuff, we do a paranormal fest in Miami Town every year in October, and I found the hardest part of setting it up was the advertising and promoting it. How do you go about, I guess, tackling that whole situation and getting the word out there to make sure people know about it and stuff? I mean, do you have any specific means, or is it a secret, or?
Well, no. It's, you know, and it's not a secret, because James and I, when we formed this team, our goal was to work with as many teams as we want, sharing information, sharing ideals and theories, and referring cases back and forth if we couldn't get to an area. So the same goes for the convention, because it's my hope that, you know, while this is the larger convention, and, you know, I wouldn't say that there would be any competition, but, you know, I would like to see other areas, you know, get involved in, you know, like what you guys do in Miami Town is, you know, focus on your area's, you know, history, bring in guests from all over, you know, because that can only serve to better the area and bring more attention to the area. So when you're trying to promote the event, oh my, it's very difficult, as you are aware, but with Facebook and viral promotion, guerrilla marketing, it makes it very easy to get out there and do something. But you have to target it properly. I used Facebook ads, and you can do it for as little as 23 cents a click. Every time they click on your ad to come over to your Facebook site or to your website, and you can set up, you know, a daily limit of like $5. So every day you'll be charged $5 or up to $5, depending on how many clicks that you get.
And those get a ton of impressions and clicks.
Right.
I've used those before.
Yeah, and you know, we use that for the event, and you know, we had over 600,000 impressions and just a few clicks. So if I would have been paying for impressions, I'd been paying a lot more. So I paid for clicks. You know, we want many people out there to get to this event as much as possible. So we use local media by using press releases. If you go to freepressrelease.com, and it's all the words, it's all separated. It's free-press-release.com. Mm-hmm. And you can put up press releases. You can put up a basic one for free, or you can put up a premiere one for a dollar. And that allows you to put in as exclusive. So what happens is they put that on their front page. If it's an exclusive press release, they promote the heck out of it for you for a dollar. And it's a one-time charge for that press release. And, you know, talk to article publishers for the Dayton. I know the Dayton Paranormal Examiner. They might have, I believe they have a Cincinnati team as well. One of the girls from Cryptic Investigations, Anita Brown, she's a writer for the Paranormal Examiner for Dayton. So she promotes the convention through her writings and things like that, especially when and this will be a tangent. And if you want to, we can get back to it. But when I was attacked by someone verbally through email on Facebook, she wrote about the convention. So, I mean, you have all this, you know, you have all these things that are available to you, but it's finding the time and finding out which ones are, you know, going to work best for you. But the biggest thing that I find is that, you know, just by creating a fan page or something on Facebook, you begin to get recognition for the event. We have about 944 fans on our convention fan page. I hope that all 944 show up, because I know they'll have a great time. Right. So, I mean, it's targeting them as close as possible to where they live, and you know, and getting to know the teams around your area, and asking for them to help promote it, you know, on their website or their Facebook, or, you know, hey, do they have a newsletter, or if they have a radio show, you know. I'm actually going up to Wisconsin in June with James to speak at Fox City Paranormal Team. They're having a dinner and a dinner and question night where they dinner for $40, and you get there's two presentations. Fox City will have their presentation, then we follow them. And it's just getting out there and doing stuff like that. So we're traveling 8 hours hoping that, you know, we'll influence some people to come down here, but it's also spreading the word about the convention and about, you know, our team.
Okay. So you guys are, it seems that, or from what we've experienced and what it seems like you're planning for the next one, it seems that you guys are good at setting up these convention things. So why the paranormal? Why is this your interest? Why? How did you get started? How did the interest, I guess, get started here in the paranormal field? What about the paranormal is what you guys decided to set up the convention for?
Well, you know, for me, I started in the paranormal in 2005. And it was only after meeting James. James and I both worked at Kings Island, but we worked there a year apart. I worked there from 96 to 99, and he started working in there in 2000. And so we had a lot in common there, and so we hit it off pretty good there, you know, talking about our Kings Island days. And we then started talking more, and I noticed in his signature on his forum posts, he had Southern Ohio. Oh wow, I just looked at the chat room. I can't really do that anymore. He had Southern Ohio Paranormal Research, and I asked him about it because I'd had my own experiences when I was a child, and wanted to know, you know, what it was all about. And I had seen the shows on TV like Scariest Places on Earth and, you know, Unsolved Mysteries and Ghost Hunters. And so my interest was piqued. And so he and I, we started talking, and he had the team formed, but it was different. It was set up a lot different. And so he and I, we started talking and talking more, and we decided to, refocus the team, and, he made me a co-founder of version 2.0. So we're like Southern Ohio Paranormal Research version 2. And, you know, our whole premise was we're not here to tell you how things should be done. We're not here to, you know, be the experts. Our job is to provide you with what we find and provide you with our opinions. And that led into, you know, meeting like teams. And we found that the best way to do that was in a non-work environment. And I put, you know, quotation marks around it because conventions are like paranormal researchers' vacation. We, you know, people that are planning to go don't schedule investigations on that weekend. And, you know, they go there with, you know, sometimes their entire team, and they crowd into, you know, one, you know, tiny hotel room, but somehow they do it. And, you know, it's
so just, how often would you say you had an investigation or you have an investigation with the group?
What was that?
How often would you say that you have an investigation with the group? I know you say that this weekend's the convention, so we're on vacation. Is it like every weekend that that there's not a convention that you're out there investigating?
Well, unfortunately, our caseload has been very low this year, and it could be, you know, because of the proliferation of all the teams in Ohio, because honestly, there's about 125 that I'm aware of in the state of Ohio. But I've started seeing new teams pop up here and there. And so we were having investigations, for a month. Sometimes there were six a month. We would have our planned investigations where we would reinvestigate a location. We have a test location that's basically like our little playground, and it's a business that we investigate, and we know the family very well that owns it. And so, you know, we're lucky to have them that we can say, you know, okay, we know this place is haunted. We just want to go in there and we want to, you know, be able to document some things. But life, you know, most of our members are finishing up school, or James just had a baby and she will be one this year. So he's had a lot on his plate raising, you know, his first daughter. And, you know, so for me, to cure the itch to investigate, I'm actually a ghost hunt volunteer at Mansfield Reformatory.
Okay.
And, so, you know, when last year, when we had our convention, we were racking up a lot of investigations. Since 2005, we've done about 50 investigations. Of those, probably 10 or 15% have yielded results, maybe even less. And we've had leads on cases that haven't gone anywhere, because we weren't taps. So, you know, and then there's that enigma out there as well, is that, you know, a lot of people are looking for taps to investigate their property. And, you know, that's great, but, you know, the likelihood that, you know, they'll be able to get any type of resolution for what's going on in their house from, you know, requesting an investigation for ghost hunters, you know, they have a lot of requests to go through, and right, they have to prioritize. And so, you know, we're hoping that, like, conventions like this will actually bring people that are having this type of phenomenon happening and bring them out, and get them asking questions to not only our guest speakers, but to the investigators that are there. And we, you know, we recommend that if you're an investigator and you attend the convention, that you put, you know, that you wear something that says that you're part of a team. That way people can recognize that, you know, okay, you're part of a team, and that way it makes it easier for you to network with possible clients, potential teams that you can work with later on. And, you know, by getting these people, you know, these clients, the help that they need, you know, it will help, you know, the overall area in the teams that, you know, are having trouble getting investigations, or, are finding reluctance when they're trying to approach places, because a lot of, you know, guests actually speak about how to go in and land an investigation at, say, a commercial property, because there are certain, you know, certain things that you have to do, you know, because places that are big, forget about you if you don't keep bugging them. And, so, you know, it, just from, you know, 2005 to now, you know, it's only been five short years. I was talking to James today, and he thought we'd been together as a team for 2 years. We lost track of time, and, you know, in those 5 years, we've learned a lot, and we're still learning. And, that's our ultimate goal, is that we're going to learn, you know, a lot from this convention. And plus it saves us from, you know, driving, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours to an event. And by proxy, it saves everyone else driving the same amount of time.
And I think that should be the goal of anyone who's really interested, or who's really in the field, in order to learn more about the paranormal, is to actually go to these places and pick up every little piece of information that you can. And I think that's what the goal should be. The more information, it shouldn't be about what you can do that no one else is doing. It should be what you can do that everyone else is doing, or what you can do that's working off of what everyone else is doing, and then what other people can take from you. And then if everyone's working together, it just seems that we can finally get some answers as to what's really out there.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, though, we are out of time, so I want to give you an opportunity to throw out any last plugs that you want, or anything. Go ahead and throw out the dates And any information about the convention again that you'd like, or anything else like that, before we let you go.
All right. Well, first off, just want to say thanks for having me on. And for anyone in the chat room or listening tonight, make sure that you go to www.ohioheracon.com. That's where you can get all the details about our speakers, tickets, about the investigation, also about our hotel rates. And the event will go from August 21st to 22nd. And we're also investigating Mansfield Reformatory on August 20th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Is anyone invited to go to that?
Yes. As long as the tickets are available, you are able to attend. It's $75 per person, 21 and up. And all the proceeds from the investigation sales actually benefit the Ohio State Reformatory directly.
Okay.
Excellent.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, and looking forward to the convention in August. So thank you for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Mike, you ready to go to commercial and then we'll close up?
Sure, we can do that. You guys have been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk. That was Brian Klein from the
Calvin and Hobbs.
Yes, from the Southern Ohio Paranormal Research Team and the Ohio Paracon. And we are going to take a quick commercial break, so stay tuned.
Is honored to have been chosen by the IPAA as the number one paranormal magazine in the world, offering its readers a look into the supernatural. Publishing consistently since 2005, Haunted Times Magazine has brought its readers the best information on hauntings, ghosts, UFOs, cryptozoology, the newest technology, and much, much more. Start your subscription today by visiting the Haunted Times Magazine website at www.hauntedtimes.com. Just click on the Subscribe Now banner, fill out the simple information needed, and you'll begin your subscription to Haunted Times with our most recent issue, featuring an in-depth interview with Zach, Nick, and Aaron of Television's Ghost Adventures. Mention this advertisement in the comment section of your order form and receive a much sought-after rare back issue of Haunted Times Magazine free with your paid subscription. Visit www.hauntedtimes.com. Today.
Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
And we're back.
Okay, I did get word from Web Guy while we had the guest on that the Parastats chat room is up at www.parastats.com/forward slash chat room. So we don't have he doesn't have the details worked out yet, the stats that everyone's hopefully going to start plugging in there, but we do have a chat room, so we can start talking about it and start making suggestions about what kind of stats we should start tracking here.
Awesome. I've got to go over and check that out.
And I'm going to plug this thing to death because I love this idea.
I agree. That's a great idea. So, do you guys have a time frame when you're hoping it launches everything and it's all set to go and people can start putting in their information and everything, or is that still kind of unknown, up in the air?
It's unknown. I'm under the impression that all he needs is what stats I want tracked and all that, and exactly what I want it to be, because right now it's this monster in my head that's spinning around wildly, and I get the impression that no one understands what I'm trying to say. But hopefully I could get him to understand shortly, and we can have that up and running, and we can, I don't know, maybe start on the show, start revealing some of the patterns that are showing up. And
yes, and we'll have to check back every week to see the status on the website.
Exactly, and on this day in 1521, Magellan died. He was killed by a poison arrow in the Philippines. I didn't know that.
Neither did I.
So, I've learned several things today.
Indeed.
Including Ferdinand Magellan was killed by a poison arrow.
I'll have to remember that.
I was hoping to end by 11 today, but we always fail.
Yes, but we're close, so we can end now, and it'd be pretty close.
Okay, am I playing the outro?
You are.
I should have gotten that ready, shouldn't I?
Yes, you should have, but while you get that ready, I'll talk for about 5 seconds. Like I said earlier, next week we will be talking to Robbie Thomas. He is a psychic detective. He's had a lot of controversy surrounding him lately, so I'm sure a lot of you have heard of him, know who he is.
What kind of controversy are we talking?
Some people don't like him, I guess you could say. I don't want to say too much on air.
Okay.
I don't know him well. I have nothing against him. But
did you hear that?
I did.
Okay. It's ready.
I heard. So, yes. So, everyone, tune in next week on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, as usual. And thanks for listening tonight. And we hope some of you show up, or all of you show up, for the Ohio Paracon. And have a good night.
You've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. You've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Tune in next week for the best radio show that you have ever heard.